Hi, welcome back to the OU's Mishnah Yomis. My name is Jack Abramowitz, filling in for Rabbi Weinreb, and today we are beginning the ninth and final chapter of Maseches Nazir. Today we will be learning Mishnayos Aleph and Beis. Perek Tes, Mishnah Aleph says, Hagoyim ein lahem Nazirus. Non-Jews do not have a rule of Nazirus. They cannot become a Nazir. Let's look at the Bar Neuro. Afagav de Goyim makrivin nedarim unedavos ki Yisrael. Even though a non-Jew can bring sacrifices of vows and oaths like Jews. Im neder benazir, ein olav toras nazirus, umutu lishtos yayin v'litami lemesim. If a non-Jew makes an oath of nazirus, it's not effective, and he can go about his business drinking wine and becoming unclean for corpses, if he so desires. Back in the Mishnah, Nashim Vadim yesh lehem nazirus. Women and slaves do have a law of nazirus. So don't think it's for men or freedmen only. Women and servants can also become Nazirim. Chomer benashim miba'avadim. The rule is more stringent by women than with slaves in one way. Shehu kofa es avdo ve'eno kofa es ishto. Because a man can compel his slave to violate his oath of Nazirus, but he cannot compel his wife to violate it. Let's look at the Bart Neuro. Kofo lishtos yayin lahitame lemesim bal karcho. He can force his servant to drink wine and become impure by corpses against his will. But regarding his wife, he cannot force her bal karcho. He cannot force her against her will. Ubashar nedarim sheyesh behem inoy nefesh o bitol malacha. Ein harav tzarech lekof es ha'eved. When it comes to other vows and oaths that involve not doing certain types of work, or depriving himself of certain benefits, then a master doesn't even need to force his servant. Elahem b'telim malehem, they're automatically null and void. Dechsiv la'asur asur al nafsho, the Torah tells us that he deprives something to himself. Misha nafsho kenuyolo, the Torah limits it to people who, quote-unquote, own themselves. Yotza evich ein nafsho kenuyolo, this excludes a slave who does not own himself. So the general rule by oaths of deprivation is a master doesn't even need to void them. They're automatically void. But when it comes to Nazirus, he has to tell his servant, I order you to override what you said. Back in the Mishnah. Chomer ba'avadim mibenashim. In another way, this is more stringent when it comes to slaves than when it comes to women. Shehu mefir nidre ishto, ve'eno mefir nidre avdo, because a man can invalidate his wife's oaths, but he cannot invalidate his servant's oaths. Again, back in the Bart Neuro. Mefir nidre ishto, ve'eno mefir nidre avdo, he can void his wife's oaths, but not his servant's oaths. Shem nisratza v'nedah shenidra ishto acha shehefer la, if he changes his mind and he says, you know what, that oath my wife made, that was actually a pretty good thing. V'rot says shetiskaimena eno chayeves lekaimo. And he says to his wife, you know what, why don't you go back and do that thing after all? She doesn't have to do that thing. Acha shehefer la pam achas, after he voids it the first time. So once he voids it, it's gone. V'im kafa es avdo la'avor al nidro, but if he compels his servant to override his oath, v'ratza achar kach b'kiyumo, chayv ha'eved l'kaimo. And then later he says, you know what, that was a good idea, he can reinstate it. Back in the Mishnah. Hefer le'ishto hefer olamis. If he voids it for his wife, it is forever voided, whether he wants her to resume it, or I guess if he dies or if they divorce, the oath doesn't come back. He has wiped it away clean. Hefer la'avdo, yasa l'cherus, mashlim naziruso. But if he voids it for his servant, and then the servant goes free, the oath comes back. He has to complete his Nazirus period. So all he can do for the slave is suspend the oath, whereas for the wife, he actually eliminates it. Avar miknegid panav, if the slave leaves the master's sight, Rabbi Meir Omer lo yishte, Rabbi Meir says that he may not drink wine, Rabbi Yossi Omer yishte, and Rabbi Yossi says he may drink wine. It's a discussion of whether or not the oath resumes in such a case. So let's look at the Bar Neuro and see what that means. So what does it mean, Avar miknegid panav, he leaves his face, he's not in front of him anymore, Shebarach merabo, achar sheneder benazir. So he ran away. So it's not like he sent him to the corner store. It's a question of he ran away, so he's no longer under the master's authority, but he's also illegally no longer under the master's authority. So Rabbi Meir Omer lo yishter. Rabbi Meir says he may not then drink wine. Kadesh yitztarv yishuv l'rav. Shikafu la'avor al nidro. V'yiyeh mutar lishtos yayin. He says that the reason he may not drink wine in such a case is because he likes to drink wine, and he likes that the master compelled him to violate the oath. So it's actually motivating him to return to his master if we reinstate the oath, because his master will continue to insist that he violate it. Rabbi Yossi Omer Yishtib, or Rabbi Yossi says he may drink wine. Shahari asid hu l'shuv l'rabba, because he's not really free and he's going to return to his master. Shivakesh rabba achra v'yachazirenu, because his master is going to look around and the guy's going to be found and sent back. V'nimtza ki'ilu hu b'rushus rabba, so he's really still considered in the master's domain, so the master's rule remains in effect. Okay, that is Mishnah Aleph. Let us continue immediately with Mishnah Beis. Nazir shegilach, a nazir who shaved. Let's take a look at the Bar Nur and see what this is. Shehevi karbonosav, v'gilach alehen. He brought his sacrifices and shaved over them. V'akarkach nodalo shenitzma b'yinei naziruso. And then later it's discovered that he became impure while he was still a nazir. So he's finished. He has completed his terms of nazirus. And then v'nodalo shehu tameh. Back in the Mishnah, it became known that he became impure. So while he was a nazir, he became impure, didn't know about it until after he brought his sacrifices and shaved. Im tuma yadua soser. If it's a known tuma, if it's a corpse or a grave that someone knew about, even if he didn't know about it, then it voids his nazirus period and he has to start again. Bim tumas hatahom. But if it's a hidden grave, no one knew it existed, eno soser, then it does not wipe out his nazirus period. Again, let's look in the Bar Neuro. Im tuma yadua, if it's a known tuma. It could have been known about. Basically, it's not a concealed grave. It's not a grave of the depths, which is what Kever HaTahom is. So Sarah wipes it out. He has to go back and count a new Naziris period. But if it's this concealed type of grave, then it does not wipe it out. Im nodalo shebamakom she'avar Haisa tuma hasatahom vhi tuma she'ein acher makira afilu b'sofa olam. If they find out that there was a grave in a place that he passed over, and it was a grave that nobody knew about, it was impossible to know that it was there. Afal pi shevadai tameh haya eno soser. Even though he definitely became tameh, it does not wipe out his nazirus period. The halacha hi kach benazir. This is a special law in the case of a nazir. Back in the Mishnah, im ashelo gilach ben kachu ben kach soser. If he found out that he passed over one of these graves before he shaved, so he passed over during his nazirus period, brought his sacrifices, didn't shave yet, then you know what? Even though it was tumas hatahom, it was a concealed grave, it still wipes out his nazirus and he has to do it again. As the Bar Neuro says, Dehad de Gemire de Tumas Hatahom Eino Soseris, the special law that we have, the tradition that the concealed grave doesn't void another period, Hainu Davka Acher Giluach Shel Tahara. That's only after he's been shaved. So even if he brought his sacrifices, unfortunately, he has to go back to the beginning. Ketzad. So what is the case, the Mishnah now asks, of these two types of graves? So Yorad Litbal b'ma'ara v'nimtza meis tzafa piha ma'ara tameh. If he goes to dip in a cave, so there's a natural body of water, and he's going to use it as a mikveh, and he goes there and he finds a corpse floating in the water, he's unfortunately going to be impure from that. Nimsa mashuka b'karka ha-ma'ara. If the corpse is found buried in the dirt, in the ground of the cave, then what's the case? Yard lahaker tahor. If he just went into the cave to cool off, and then he went and he did his business as a nazir, and he shaved, and later they dug up this grave, he stays tahor. However, litahir mitumas meis, if he went into the cave to use that natural spring to purify himself from corpse impurity, tamei, then he's considered tamei. Shechezkas tamei tamei, v'chezkas tahor tahor. Basically, you retain the status that you had before. So since he was pure and he went to the cave to cool off, if they later found there was a corpse buried there, he had a presumption of purity and he gets to remain pure. But if he went there to use it as a mikveh, to become pure from corpse and cleanliness, and they later discover there was a corpse there, then he maintains his presumption of uncleanliness. So basically, in such a case, when it comes to the concealed grave, your status remains the same. Shiraglayim ladavar, and there is a basis for this matter. Let's look in the Bart Nero to explain the phrase shiraglayim ladavar. Klomer tam ve'iker yesh ladavar. There is a sound basis for this matter. Lomer delo gemire hilchasa latumas hatahom shehi tahora benazir elakish shahaya hanazir becheskas tahor velo kishahaya becheskas tameh. So there's sound logic for this tradition, this law that we learned when it comes to the concealed grave for a nazir, that he remains pure. That's only when he was pure to start with. But if he was impure and he went to purify himself and there was such a concealed grave there, he can't say he became pure. He didn't. So you maintain whatever status you had. Okay, that's the end of Mishnah Beis. Join us tomorrow, and we will continue this chapter with Mishnah Yeskimel and Dalet.